gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Place like home. It is the Stephanie Miller Show back in the L.A. studio.
Oh, my God.
It's Friday, though. That means John Fugelsang's in our New York studio.
Oh, I'm here all by myself.
It's not right without
you. With John Fugelsang.
I didn't have to step over any whippet canisters to make it to the console. I'd miss the smell of Matus when you're away.
I gave you several of my pre-show burps just so you wouldn't be lonely there.
Oh, man. Thank you very much for the belches. It felt like I was waking up with you all over again.
Yes. Yeah.
The Zima bottle.
With the Zima bottle.
Chris could not be more delighted because I have popped out of his Skype now in our love story. We've had a long-distance love story, as you know, John, for a while, and he could not be more delighted from the look on his face that I'm back here in person.
Wow.
Yeah, I was telling him yesterday we were having a computer meltdown, and I'm getting so close to Chris, I can feel his tension on Skype. I don't know whether Skype has frozen, like the camera and speed, or whether she's really that tense. But
you're tearing me apart.
I think I annoyed Hal with my tension because he's such an easygoing guy that he doesn't do well with tension. So that's why he climbed underneath the desk here and fixed the computer.
You look on Skype. You look like either Ren or Stimpy. Just your eyes get really.
I look like a Tex Avery cartoon.
Yes.
Doesn't everyone look like a hostage video on Skype?
Yes.
Speaking of love stories, oh, how much does Rebecca enjoy the fact that I could just physically open the door and go, Rebecca, get out of here! Good morning, Rebecca.
Welcome back, princess.
Okay, you can explain to the folks what has already gone wrong this morning because I am so, what's the... Unable to care for... Unable to care for myself in any
Helpless.
Way.
You left your key card to get in the building.
Yes, so I had to call you to let me...
Good.
Oh, although I had the card that gets me in the New York building.
Oh, that's a help.
So that was good. But I don't have the... You know, so I had to call Chris and he had to come down and get me. And then I left my BlackBerry charger in New York.
Which is typical of you.
And you said, do you have your car charger? And I said, yes, in my car.
In New York.
Yes. So Rebecca already had to go get her husband, Mr. Taylor, who works down the thing, down the hall here.
Right.
And he has the wrong BlackBerry.
Oh, he's the one with the wrong BlackBerry.
No, Stephanie.
No, you're the one
can
with
I
the
have
wrong
him
BlackBerry.
Fired?
Stephanie, nobody
you know
has
what?
A BlackBerry Storm anymore. Come on.
I've already
How
had
dare
it with you.
You.
You're all tearing me apart. It used to be a nice place to come.
Can I have Mr. Taylor fired for having the wrong charger? I mean, he doesn't even work here, but still.
You have no power. No.
Is there a Verizon store down the street where you can get one or something?
Can I just say, Sue? I don't know. I don't.
Oh, wait. I'm going to be sent to the store right now, huh?
Yes. I think that's our point is. Now I have people to do things for
welcome
me.
Welcome back.
A listener sent me a letter that you had sent. She asked why you weren't having kids. Sue, in Rockville.
Yes,
and
yes.
You blame the show. You said because of this show, I can't have kids. What?
Because I blame everything on the show. That's what we all do.
Yeah, I do too. I really do.
It's so lonely here in New York, I have no one to fight with or displace my anger onto. You guys are lucky.
All right, how are we stopping you? Go ahead, punch out a few.
I don't have
time. Let's
start
with Chris.
I'm too busy working on your damn show. And it made me sterile.
No. My show did not make
me sterile. I get secondhand frigidity from Stephanie.
Poor girl went and caught frigid.
I have been blamed for a lot of stuff. Oh, pop out a few
trailers.
You know I love the kids. We'll have them running around in here, whatever.
You'll neglect them and then they'll get taken away from me.
Oh, you breed your own wine.
Think of it this way. I'll have more people to do stuff for me.
Oh, great. Your dogs would probably eat my kids.
I'll call her at home. Send one of those little chillins over here. Mama needs more medicine.
Mama needs more cigarettes.
Mama had an accident in her bathwater again. Send one of those little rugrats over. Cheap labor. That's the whole point, isn't it? All right. Rebecca, thank you. And thank you, Mr. Taylor, for, helping.
Yeah,
with
F you. Goodbye.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, that was nice. He's in a good mood today.
Everything's back to normal.
That's right.
All right. In fact, I guess from what I'm told, John Fugelsang, you're you're the internet guy. You're the Twitter, Facebook-y kind of, you're that type of guy.
Am I really? Okay. Yeah. I thought I was just lonely, but I guess that's what I am.
Whatever.
Yes.
Whatever, but you tell me it's a buzz with the various, you know.
It's a buzz. Yes, there's all sorts of talk about the Steph Miller on on the Twitter and the Facebook and the Plaxo and the LinkedIn
Plaxo.
And the MySpace.
Plaxo. Who does Plaxo anymore?
You know.
By the way, all you LinkedIn people, no, I'm not gonna. I ignore all those requests. What? No.
Don't link into strangers like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyway,
the internet's all on Twitter.
Yes, and we will put the Twitter rumors to rest next hour. Next hour, we have a kind of exciting announcement on the Stephanie Miller newscast. All right. So, and also we have Christian Weller from RoboCop and the
Center for American Progress.
Yeah, fancy economy guy. And Representative Jackie Speier, Democrat of California, coming up this hour.
Yep.
Oh, so first of all, let's do the yay news. Yay, don't ask, don't tell. He was voted, overturned.
Yes.
I don't have my box here. John Fugelsang.
I'm staring at your box right now.
Owns my box in New York.
Yeah, I'm staring at it.
Don't touch
all your little buttons.
Don't touch it.
I won't. Oh, I'm
So, you know, this reminds me a little of healthcare, right, Chris? It's, we won ugly, but we got it done.
Yeah, now the Congress is finally as liberal as Dick Cheney is.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but it's still on the Pentagon's own timeline, isn't it?
Well,
it's only passed the House.
Yeah, I mean, it's progress. It got done. It passed. I mean, you know, this is what Nancy Pelosi said.
I'll be happy when gays are allowed to serve openly.
Yeah.
And right now, they're kind of still not. So
I know.
Exactly.
John, you missed yesterday. We, by the way, do we have our right-wing Jerrion montage? Do we still have any of those? Because people that have listened to the show for a long time, he's a guy that we always play with, John. You know, he's the right-wing Jerry in Chicago.
Kids love him.
The kids do love him. Anyway, but you know how in radio this is all, this is just a fart joke radio show, but Jerry, for God's sakes, this isn't real. I mean, so anyway, he called yesterday and it turns out his sister killed herself a few days ago because she was gay and he was feeling horribly guilty that he and the rest of their family were not supportive and whatever. So I hooked him up with my friend at the Trevor Project and, you know, it just led to a lot of, you know, phone calls yesterday. But I think I thought brave of him not just to share that, but he was talking about don't ask, don't tell.
Really beautiful.
That with this in the news that he wanted to, you know, be supportive. You know, anyway, so, but it was really, Chris, that's the thing. I felt completely ill-equipped. I was more ill-equipped than, say, Dr. Laura to handle this on the air.
Well, yeah, because Dr. Laura would say, and your problem is?
You know what, though? You did a good job.
Well, you and I were saying this, when it's talk radio, you don't know if it's a joke. Yeah, you don't know if you're getting pranked. You don't know if it was real. I mean,
Because those rare moments of sincerity can throw you off. But, you know, it's great because really what the ex-gay ministries need to realize is the good news, homophobia is curable.
Yes, exactly. Chris, might you take your organ out for me? So you can tell that we're making progress on Don't Ask, Don't Tell because the right wing, John, freaking out. Your good friends on the far right. Where have you gone? Oh, there you
are. I was getting a montage that you asked for.
I suddenly looked up, and it was like I was in New York. He was gone. I was like, where did you go? Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Far-right Christian group, John, because you are the ecclesiastical mook, as you know.
Indeed, I am.
Mm-hmm. Far-right Christian group warns that gay blood will destroy our military if Don't Ask, Don't Tell is repealed.
Well.
Cliff Kincaid, we know him from, Chris, I would...
And he's with, isn't he, like, the American Family Association? Or...
America's Survival.
He's with, I'm exploiting this to become famous in my right-wing click.com.
It's America's Survival is the name of the
group. I'll bet you it's just an organization in his mom's basement, like that Catholic League guy.
Yeah. He launched a campaign against repeal, warning that disease-tainted gay blood threatens our troops. Open and active homosexuals into the U.S. military could very well result in the spreading of deadly HIV-tainted blood throughout the ranks. Ooh, how very 1980.
With all those straight soldiers who contracted.
How very retro. How very ill-informed. As we all know, all would-be soldiers undergo mandatory HIV testing, a straight or gay, FYI, and are not allowed to serve if they're found to be positive. So right away, his premise, Chris, lacks the family
research. Well, unless you're sharing needles with the gay soldiers in that case, and that's an epidemic. Mm-hmm.
Family Research Council warning that repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell will turn the U.S. military into a terrifying free rape zone.
A free rape zone?
A terrifying free rape zone.
Oh, wow.
We're straight.
And the troops will have access to rentboy.com, Family Research Council.
Mm-hmm. We're straight service members. Okay, this is my personal favorite part. Because already that was kind of, you know. Where straight service members will, quote, be filleted in their sleep against their will, and commanders are powerless to resist.
I thought that only happened.
Which sounds kind of hot to me.
I thought that only happened in the Republican Party.
Exactly. I was going to say, that's a religious right-wing Republican thing.
Yeah.
Filleting someone in their sleep. That's what we were saying, John. That should be our 2010 slogan. Democrats, at least we have sex with people that are conscious.
I like. Well, and Mark Foley does, too.
You know about that story in Indiana, right, John?
No, what story?
Where the Republican committee guy was...
He was a young Republican.
Yeah, young Republican was caught with his friend's, in his mouth while he was sleeping.
Defense, could be clumsy. Could be like Three Stooges kind of thing.
Yeah, he among you who hasn't sleep fellated can cast the first stone.
Oh, exactly. Whew, thank God.
How many times have I woken up like... So, I completely understand, and it's really wrong of you haters.
Thank God you said that, because I thought I was the only one. Some people sleep eat, you know.
What was that sound, John?
That's called the teabagger choke.
I prefer that you not ask him to repeat that. Some things...
Look, Stephanie, it's the truth, okay? I know it's hard to swallow, but...
All right, you know what? Now I need to take back control and go to a break.
I'm sorry. There's nothing more fun than these really insecure, very straight men. Yeah. It's hilarious. We can't upset the military. The tiny minority of homophobes might be angry.
I just went to the refrigerator to get a popsicle. What is that wrong? So many probably blame the other guy.
I tripped and fell on it.
18 minutes after the hour, right?
Seven
back
times.
More Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Upside down.
Stephanie Miller.
Turn me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 22 minutes after the hour. John in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, John.
Uh-oh.
Did I do something wrong? I haven't used this in a while. Hello, John.
Hi. I'm a gay ex-submariner. I surfed for 6 years on Fast Attack.
That sounds like a cool animated series.
Yeah. Well, I was like a sonar technician. We'd listen to the whales singing and
the
Russian fleet back in, you know, this was back in the 80s and stuff. But my point is that, yeah, you know, being gay on a submarine, you know, I'd have crushes and stuff. But once you serve side by side with somebody, you get to know them and their wives and their families, and they become like brothers. And it kind of, you know, it kills the whole sexual thing because, you know, they're not gay and they're straight, and you think of them like, you don't think of them in that way.
Listen, those of us that have lived lifetimes of unrequited love totally understand. It's just called loserdom to the rest of us. John Fugelsang is live in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. Representative Jackie Speer from the great state of California coming up in a few minutes. She has a consumer auto safety enhancement.
Yep. But she would also like to talk about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, too.
Yes. So. All right, terrific. By the way, I have a rent-a-car that sounds like a speedboat. I'll have to ask her... They should cover rental car. I don't know. I don't think they spent much on a muffler or anything of any kind. It's like being back in my Dodge Dart in the 70s.
Okay. Did you rent a cheap car?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Ridiculous. New York is expensive.
Indeed.
All right.
You rented a Burrow.
All right. So by the by, we were talking about before the break, obviously, Don't Ask, Don't Tell, big news this morning. And thank you so much for all. We got so much mail on Right Wing Jerry in Chicago. Here is the montage to remember who he is. He's been calling in for a couple of years. Let's talk to a Right Wing Love Muffin. Jerry in Chicago.
Play some song or something and make me sound like an idiot.
Jerry.
Oh, that's really cute.
Jerry in Chicago. Jerry.
snarky and so funny.
Jerry in Chicago. Jerry. Right Wing Jerry is awesome.
Love that guy.
I'm a right wing tool.
Jerry.
If I could just say two words to everybody, all of Stephanie's listeners, if you want truth, Savage Nation.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
No, seriously, Steph, I need to ask you something. You have such a problem with Sarah. I just wonder, were you molested as a child?
Jerry! Right Wing Jerry is awesome.
Love that guy.
I'm a right wing tool.
I find it interesting, you liberals. You love to throw around, you know, how nasty this campaign is getting. And then you guys play clips like that.
Yay, Right Wing Jerry.
I think it's actually a very moving story because these people are trapped in the matrix, the horrible disease of republicanism, and the only way you're going to get them out is with love. And I think this guy realized that you were the most sincere, consistent person in his life.
Which I listened. That is sad news for anybody. But he called in yesterday, really seriously broken up, yeah. And his sister had killed herself because she was gay, and the rest of his family felt guilt because they weren't supportive. If you go to stephaniemiller.com, first of all, thank you for everybody that donated to different organizations yesterday in Jerry's name or Jerry's sister's name, there's a link to the Trevor Project, 866-4-U-TREVOR. That's the 24/7 crisis hotline. You know, it's for gay kids, you know, that are contemplating suicide, families that are touched by it, like Jerry's. So anyway, all good stuff, and thank you so much. That was very touching letters, wasn't it, Chris? People really reached out and felt bad and said they were crying yesterday, and you know, gave money or volunteered on a Trevor hotline or something in honor of Jerry. So, all right. So we have a you can take your organ back out before we.
Jeez, put it out, put it in, take it out.
I know. Apologize. Some more rhetoric, John, from our friends at the American Family Association.
Love
this
that.
Guy, Brian Fisher, he's director of something. Homophobia and gay bashing is something. I don't know. Is this from his little radio? I don't know if it's from one of the radio shows or just a little.
A little thing.
Yes. It was. It was from the American Family Association radio show, which I'm sure is
scintillating.
Just good fun.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so Hitler himself was an active homosexual.
Yes.
And some people wonder, didn't the Nazis persecute homosexuals? And it is true they did. They persecuted effeminate homosexuals. But Hitler... But Hitler recruited around him homosexuals to make up the stormtroopers. They were his enforcers. They were his thugs. And Hitler discovered that he could not get straight soldiers to be savage and brutal and vicious enough to carry out his orders, but that homosexual soldiers basically had no limits, and the savagery and brutality they were willing to inflict on whomever Hitler sent them after. So he surrounded himself virtually. All of the stormtroopers, the brown shirts, were male homosexuals.
They were rough trained.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no self-respecting homosexual I know would wear a brown shirt. That is awful. Drab.
No, but it does make the black uniforms make a lot more sense.
These people are seriously out of their minds. All right.
Fantastic. Hitler was also a Catholic gypsy Jew. Did you hear that?
Pardon me?
Hitler was also a Catholic gypsy Jew.
Really? He was a gypsy, a tramp, and a thief.
Yeah, all of it.
Mm-hmm.
He was born to run.
All right. So let's, John Fugelsang, you started the Obama bashing last week.
That was not Obama.
Went all James Carville on my ass.
Hey, we're concerned.
Not bashing.
We're concerned, and we want him to do better.
Look, you can call it bashing all you want. I'm just telling you what the Republican Party is going to be saying for the next 6 months.
Well, you don't have to do their work for them is all I'm saying.
Well, look,
you're
all I'm
Joel
saying
James
is...
You're James Carville crazy, for God's sake.
Oh, I'm not quite that crazy. The day I marry Mary Madeline, you're allowed to call me James Carville crazy. Thank you.
You got to give him a pass, I think.
Yeah.
Did you see her on CNN yesterday?
Yes, she looked like she'd rather be, at an orphanage with cute children than be on CNN. She looked so uncomfortable.
She scratches herself more than my dogs do. What was she doing? She kept fixing her hair and touching her eyes and...
I haven't seen her that miserable since they both starred on K Street on HBO together.
29 minutes after the hour, right back with Representative Jackie Speier next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, now that you've pointed it out, maybe... Stephanie Miller.
Jazz sounds slightly like someone put a screwdriver in a pencil sharpener, but in a cute way.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. John Fugelsang, live in studio in the New York Bureau.
I was doing laundry last night, and I separated the darks from the whites, mm-hmm. and Rand Paul just came to me.
Interesting.
Yes.
Thank you, John. We are live in the L.A. studio here with the Moogs, and joined by Representative Jackie Speier of the great state of California. Good morning, Congresswoman. Did I do it wrong again? I think so. Good morning, Congresswoman.
I'm getting
used to my new toys. Hello.
How are you?
Good. Listen, this is exciting, to have you on right after the Don't Ask, Don't Tell vote.
What an exciting vote last night. Such an incredible, profound margin and a bipartisan vote at that. So I'm thrilled.
Well, now, Congresswoman, there's been a lot of, different people speculating. What does this mean exactly? I mean, tell us how this goes into effect immediately. Does the Pentagon still have to complete this review, and what does all that mean?
Yes, the review still needs to take place, and then after the report has been presented, there has to be a letter that's received by Congress stipulating that it is not going to impact the readiness of our armed forces to serve our country. So, I mean, there's some technicalities that will have to be acted upon in the next 4 or 5 months, but come January 1st, it's a new world.
Well, so what does that mean today? What does that mean for gay soldiers waking up this morning?
Don't Ask, Don't Tell is still in effect.
Okay.
So it hasn't changed. And, of course, it still has to, pass the Senate and go to conference and then get to the president's desk. But this is such a significant vote. I can't, underscore that enough. And the fact that it passed out of the Senate committee by a good vote yesterday as well, so it will be taken up on the Senate floor in the next couple of months.
So it's what Speaker Pelosi said a few days ago. She said by Christmas or something, I guess, is what she said, Don't Ask, Don't Tell will be a memory in her opinion.
That's correct. And, then the question becomes, what do we do with the 13,500 men and women who were fired? What kind of compensation are they put into a retirement system? Are they offered their jobs back? All those things have to be ironed out as well. It's pretty preposterous that we had this rule in effect for, 17 years? I mean, that somehow that it was okay to be gay and serve in the military. You just couldn't tell anyone.
Right. Yeah, ridiculous. I mean, and we're, 75% of the American public, I think, at this point, I understand people's impatience. I mean, I was saying at the top of the show, Congresswoman, that it almost reminds me of healthcare, that it took maybe longer than we wanted, and it's still a little clunky and not entirely done, but at least, like you say, it was historic last night, and we got it done, right?
Well, I guess what was so hard for me to understand is the rhetoric coming out of my colleagues on the Republican side about how it's going to impact our ability to, protect our country, when we know that there are 60,000 men and women serving right now that are gay, and it's not a problem. So their arguments just don't carry water, but then what else is new?
Yeah, they seem so retro. So now let's talk about, obviously the big story is the oil spill. What is your take on the president's press conference yesterday and his response and all of the controversy?
He, I think, has done a remarkable job and is not getting the credit that is due him. I mean, this is not a response to a hurricane where we have the expertise to go in and provide the kind of assistance. I mean, this is a sophisticated technological activity going on in the middle of the ocean, and to somehow expect that we have the wherewithal to go in and start, command and control is a little unrealistic. But I think he has stepped it up as he needed to in terms of, taking charge. And, it looks like we've got some good news coming from BP this morning about
the top kill.
The top kill. So, mm-hmm. But it's regrettable on so many levels. And, BP's history is not one to be proud of. I mean, they have had environmental convictions for any number of leaks and inappropriate conduct.
So. Well, Congressman, I don't know if you know, if you saw the story in the New York Times yesterday, but I mean, it just, you know, we've had attorney Mike Papantonio on, and he said, you know, he's seen some incriminating documents, but I mean, you know, and I don't even have the technical expertise to explain, but I think you probably know what the story was from the New York Times, right? That they consciously went with some less expensive seal or something that just seems directly related to what happened, and it just, it's you know. It seems to me that this is going to be a criminal inquiry of the highest order, don't you think?
Oh, I believe so. But it's not as if they don't have a history of criminal violations and convictions. So they have a very checkered past, and they've paid out $87 million to OSHA, the largest fine ever in OSHA's history back in October of 2009, another $87 million for 270 safety violations in another incident.
As you know, I'm normally on TV a lot, but I actually was screaming at the TV yesterday like most people when this BP guy was on, because, you know there are things they're saying that are patently untrue, don't you? I mean, it just, he was talking about the dispersants and, well, you know, the minute we find an alternative, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I was like screaming bull blank.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you know, the EPA said there are 10 that are less, you know, toxic or whatever,
right,
and better. It's just not the guys you're in bed with that make the brand that you bought.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. That's exactly right.
I mean, and then, you know, you look at this during the Bush era, this report that's come out. I mean, literally, the regulators literally in bed with the oil company executives.
I remember when that story first broke, and I thought, I can't believe this is going on in the federal government.
Yeah.
Under our noses. And then the sad revelation that it's going on even today in that same mining management service. So it's
right. You know. And I mean, here's the thing I think, Congresswoman, is I think the president took responsibility yesterday, which is, first of all, jarringly different than anything George Bush ever did during Hurricane Katrina. I mean, he stepped to the plate. I think he's obviously has said this relationship is too cozy. I mean, I guess in my opinion, he has had so much on his plate that, you know, obviously was as MMS totally cleansed? No, obviously. I mean, was it?
Well, I don't know if it was cleansed at all. I mean, and when you're dealing with a situation where you have civil servants that have, you know, the ability to stay in their jobs regardless of what administration it is, you know, the cozy relationship that existed probably has existed for, you know, 30, 40 years. I mean, that's the problem with the federal government in its enforcement activities. There's too cozy a relationship between the SEC historically those that they were required to, you know, review. So we've got a lot of work to do everywhere.
Right. Well, you know, and I don't know about you, but I guess I prefer a president. Believe me, I've been called an Obama apologist more than once. But to my mind, you know, rather than having a guy that's, you know, landing on an air carrier for a photo op or, you know, putting on a photo op in Louisiana after Hurricane Katrina, I mean, I think that we did find out yesterday a lot of the stuff people were screaming about, he was doing. He's just not out having photo ops and press conferences about it every day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if there's one area you need to kind of fault him, it is that he doesn't emote. And because he has such a cool personality, you don't get the feeling that he is really there with you. I saw someone who said that, you know, if it was Bill Clinton, he would have had a wetsuit on and trying to clean up.
Yeah, I understand. Now, Congresswoman, tell us about the Consumer Auto Safety Enhancement Act that you have been working on.
It's going to bring so much safety to all of us as the motoring public. It will require that all new vehicles have in them this event data recorder, an EDR, and it's like a black box for vehicles. Two-thirds of the cars now being manufactured already have them. We want to make sure that the recorders are have survivability standards that they meet and that they actually record data that's going to be important to evaluate so that we get to the bottom of, you know, recalls sooner and can take action more quickly. So that's the gist of it.
I see. I was wondering, is it too late? I have a rent-a-car here in L.A. today, and seems a little rickety to me. I think this act might be a little late for me, but I thank you for your good work on it. What do you expect today on the oil spill? Obviously the president is going down there after this. Were you satisfied, first of all, with the press conference yesterday?
I was. I mean, I think there's still a lot of unanswered questions, but again, we're dealing with, you know, engineering and scientific, you know, issues that are, you know, truly above my pay grade. And, you know, so I can't really, comment on whether one approach is better than another. But, you know, as BP has said themselves, they don't know if this is going to work. It's an experiment. It's never been done before.
Yeah.
What it does tell us, though, is this kind of deep well drilling is very dangerous. And to have a voluntary regulatory format, which is what it has been for, you know, a long time, is just unacceptable.
Yep, absolutely. Representative Jackie Speier of the great state of California, thanks so much, as always, Congresswoman, for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Stephanie.
All righty. There she goes. Yay.
Wonderful lady.
Tom in Asheville, North Carolina writes, Steph, Obama hasn't done enough about the oil spill. Like when Apollo 13 exploded in space, Richard Nixon didn't sit around the White House. He donned his pressure suit, climbed into on top of the presidential Saturn V rocket, and went up there and... It's true. I'm just
yes, but Richard Nixon got on television and comforted the country.
Well, what was yesterday? I mean, that's the problem is, you know, I'd rather have a guy that's trying to fix the problem than, you know, than having a press conference every 2 minutes.
Yeah, I appreciate that Obama's being calm. He's right about that this is BP's spill and it's their responsibility. He's going to be judged not on how he handles the spill, but on how he handles BP and makes them pay.
Absolutely.
I agree.
What? Huh?
Good.
Really? I agree with that. Well, yes, we've been talking about BP since day one.
Okay.
Yeah. They're the original bastard people. All right.
Well, also, Transocean and Halliburton need to be held to account, too.
Yeah.
I think we just put all three of them in a cage, have them fight to the death, put it on pay-per-view, and fix the deficit.
There you go.
There we go.
We're problem solvers.
We're helpers.
We're helpers on the Stephanie Miller Show. All that being said, I think James Carville's having a nervous breakdown. We will be back with that and your thoughts and ours on the latest on the oil spill as we continue. Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Welcome to the party barn. May we take your order? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Dig if you will, the picture of you and Stephanie Miller.
Sweat would be covering you if I was in New York, John Fugel saying. Is it still like 100% humidity and 100 degrees?
No, it's delightful here. It rained last night, and it's very cool, and it's a beautiful spring day. You elitist snob who's too pro-LA for her own good.
Oh, that's right.
Now we started the turf war again.
Oh, yeah, I said it. That's right.
You guys are so, like, you just lash out when I'm on the other coast. You're so jealous.
It was cold here this morning. It was in the 50s.
51 minutes, meow, 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Michael in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I noticed something, and that is that the dick has been strangely absent since April 22nd.
Yes.
We've all been dickless.
Dick Cheney always so chatty normally.
Yeah, Cheney the dick. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking... Is it possible we need to investigate those energy meetings?
Yeah.
That they might have something to do with what happened?
Yeah. Did you see Karl Rove said, oh, this is Obama's Katrina? First of all, isn't that a tacit admission that Katrina was Bush's Katrina?
Right.
Oh, so now you're finally admitting you screwed it up big time. Let's go to Dave in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
It's interesting. I think the Republicans and the teabaggers and the right wing, if they're looking for someone to get upset with and blame about the retracting of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they have no one to blame it themselves. I mean, their behavior is, you know, gallivanting and little bondage clubs and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're just dumb or what the story is. Given the T-shirt a friend of mine has that says, Fellatio is not an opera, you know, kind of give them a clue. But the other thing.
How many more of those stories, Dave, before you go, just, you know, shut up about family values from now on, for God's sakes.
If they knew more about it, they would say less and do more. I mean, they're just, they're pathetic. But the other thing I thought was interesting is I'm wondering if the energy behind getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell has something to do with Arizona and their anti-immigration, anti-anyone who's not white kind of laws. And the Congress can't afford to look like that. You know, so there, is there some, you know, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. Is it possible that they don't want to look that bad?
Yeah, so well, no, you know, Dave, you raise a point. Between Rand Paul and, you know, the Arizona law, it's like, what are we doing here? Are we going back to the 50s? Like, what? I mean.
Exactly. There's a lot of educated Republicans who are very embarrassed right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roz in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Roz. Hello.
Hello. Oh, have you all forgotten it was Ronald Reagan said that the scariest thing you'll ever hear is that I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
That's right.
And now the GOP's demanding Obama says it. It's beautiful.
It is such a hoot. I would have given anything if Obama had taken the news conference and said, oh, well, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah, zing.
I heard he did say it, but you couldn't hear it because it was too loud than the sound of Reagan flipping over in his grave.
Yes.
I liked the shaving story, didn't you? The president yesterday.
This is what I wake up to in the morning, and this is what I go to bed at night thinking about. The spill. And it's not just me, by the way. Yeah, when I woke up this morning, and I'm shaving, and Malia knocks on my bathroom door, and she peeks in her head, and she says, did you plug the hole yet, Daddy?
You know, I think this is Cheney's Katrina. Can we just start spinning it that way?
Yeah,
this is deregulation, folks. A VP oil shill means a VP oil spill.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi said this yesterday. She talked about the Bush administration, because they are. They are quantitatively, provably to blame for many of the problems at the Minerals and Management Services. And, you know, John, will I give you that the president should have done something about that as well? And obviously, as he said, the relationship's too cozy. Yeah, but he kind of has had a lot to friggin' do, hasn't he?
He has. I mean, he's going to have criticism because they've released over 20 different waivers for oil companies for drilling since this spill began. Things like that we have to get on Obama's case about. But, I mean, he's gotten in front of it, and now we're going to have to hold Obama's feet to the fire for making sure BP pays.
Yeah. Pelosi said yesterday, we're talking about 8 years of the Bush administration, and many of the people appointed in the Bush administration are still burrowing in the agencies that are supposed to oversee the industry. That Inspector General report from the MMS this week did reveal that many of the most scandalous actions at the agency happened long before Obama was president.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Mary in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Oh, it's...
What are you doing?
I'm getting used to the new thing here.
Was that you, Stephanie?
Hi, Mary.
Did you mess up?
Yeah, it was her. It was Stephanie.
My clumsy bicoastal fingers.
Okay. Well, to make it brief, these incidents with the banking industries, oil industries, and so forth, are an inevitable result of unbridled corporate power. And the corporations have never been as powerful as they are right now. And I want to make everybody go to their history books and look at the corporate charter system, because it allows for the larger community to revoke a company's charter when its actions are dangerous to the larger community. And we originally got the corporate charter system from the British. And the idea was is they would give permission to corporations to exist, but the charter had to be renewed on a regular basis. And every time it was renewed, they examined how the corporation did in the larger community. And if it was harmful or damaging, they would revoke their charter. And for some reason nowadays, the very concept of revoking a charter is just not even considered.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know, take another look at that, because the corporate citizen is no longer a member of any country or community. It has no allegiance to any larger group. It only has allegiance to itself.
Yep, excellent. I mean, that's what we're learning. And the president, by the way, John, did talk about BP.
As far as I'm concerned, BP is responsible for this horrific disaster, and we will hold them fully accountable on behalf of the United States, as well as the people and communities victimized by this tragedy. We will demand that they pay every dime they owe for the damage they've done and the painful losses that they've caused. And we will continue to take full advantage of the unique technology and expertise they have to help stop this leak. But make no mistake, BP is operating at our direction. Every key decision and action they take must be approved by us in advance.
Well, so oh my.
Jim Ward just came in and pinched my ass. Yay! Thanks, Jim. Oh, he's way on the other side of the room now.
Yeah.
That was, there's no place like home.
The big meme now from the right is that it was an accident. We're going to be hearing this all over. Rand Paul said it. It's an accident. We got to hire Richard Dreyfuss to do a PSA against that, saying, this was not a drilling accident.
Yeah.
This was preventable.
Yeah. Reminds, what does that play I'm thinking of? The little girl pushes the other girl off a catwalk and kills her so she can get her partner play.
The Bad Seed?
Yeah. Something. Ruthless. And she
what?
And she goes, accidents happen, bones break. This is not an accident.
Are you sure?
Isn't that an episode of the Partridge Family?
Okay, that was what I meant. 58 minutes after the hour. Jim's here to correct me and pinch my ass. Yay! All's right with the world on the Stephanie Miller Show.
How about that? Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, just as unprepared as when I'm in New York, but now I'm here in Los Angeles feverishly trying to read my show prep. Oh, this is all the Christian Weller material. Fine. All right, StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoy, voice Dee Dee Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller.
Why do I even bother?
Jim has already.
Why do you bother, Chris?
Jim has already touched my ass. That's all I care about.
That's the first thing I did.
He also kissed all the way up my leg and my big bruise.
Well, I had to kiss her owie.
Yeah, I fell in the shower because I'm an elderly shut-in that needs 24-hour care.
That's right, you fell. That's what you tell them.
Yes, you fell in the shower.
Yeah. You get back to New York soon, Stephanie, and you tell anybody, yes, you fell.
Your name is Luca. You live on the second floor.
So, Grandma, you fell off the friggin' swing.
Little bruise play never hurt anybody.
John Fugel saying
it's
in
your
the
business anyway.
John Fugel saying in the New York Bureau. We an exciting announcement coming up. You don't want to miss. That was so teasy. It is Fridays with Fugel saying all 3 hours. John Fugel saying comedian extraordinaire joins us. In the meantime, fancy economist guy Christian Weller from the Center for American Progress. Good morning, Christian.
Hello.
Good morning, Christian.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Good to be back.
good to have you. So let's do a general check of the economy. What how are we doing today?
We're doing better than sometimes is perceived. Clearly, things seem to be going the right track. The latest probably good news is that the Federal Reserve has revised its growth projections upward for this year and for next year. That's strong news, and that basically goes along the storyline we've discussed before, that in 2009, much of the economic growth, much of what we saw in terms of good news was actually coming through government spending, but that has eventually turned into more private sector spending, more investment, mm-hmm. more consumer spending, more hiring at this point. So we now have a hopefully self-sustaining recovery that will gain some momentum, and at least the Fed thinks it will gain some momentum, and the Fed has said it will help to create that momentum by keeping interest rates low.
What about financial regulatory reform? Where are we with that?
Well, at this point, we have passed a bill in the Senate, a bill in the House. The conferees, the members of the committee that ultimately will have to come up with one version that both chambers have to pass, have been named. And the assumption is that most of the big pieces will survive. That is, there will be an independent consumer regulatory agency that combines the function of seven independent agencies at this point to really ultimately create a level playing field between the consumers and the banks, that there will be some sort of limits on big banks. It's unclear exactly what they will look like. Maybe saying like an individual bank cannot have more than 10% of the market or something like that. But some sort of limits on this too big to fail problem will probably be part of this. Then there is going to be derivatives regulation, which is just simply saying more transparency on this market and these very speculative financial instruments that have created so much problems in the last few years. Those are some of the big issues. Then there's some discussion about corporate governance to basically rein in some of the excesses in terms of executive compensation and all of that. Those are smaller issues that both chambers actually agree on. So I think generally it's clear, or the systemic risk regulator is the other one that will survive. So there's four big pieces: the too big to fail, the consumer protection, the risk, systemic risk regulator. Those things will survive over.
So,
and they're not that far. The derivatives regulation, so they're not that far apart.
Right. Our friends on the right, of course, fear mongering as usual. We have a Glenn Beck is calling this the Frankendod monster. If you let me play this for you. Time for a big bite of crazy, Glenn Beck.
I love Barney Frank and Chris Dodd too.
If you're being a smartass, you know what I'm gonna put you across my knee.
The first thing when I got spanked as a kid, my father would hug me and he'd say, "Son, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I just love my country, and I fear for it."
And the monster is out again. Grab your torch.
Kill the monster!
Bring out the monster and shoot him in the head!
Wow. That's some of that right-wing comedy.
That's Frankendod.
Oh! He will curse the day that he was born of Frankenstein.
We're creating a monster.
Oh my gosh, what a fearmonger that Glenn Beck is.
Must we fear the Frankendod, Christian?
No, especially since this is a bipartisan effort.
Right.
Lightly, it's interesting because the Republicans were actually more populist during the negotiations in the Senate than the Democrats were. So I'm not sure. I mean, clearly Glenn Beck lives in an alternate universe, but
right.
and there is this storyline, like whatever things happen, no matter how bipartisan, how popular they are, in the end, they're somehow bad because the government did them, and that's nonsense. The population really wants and needs good financial regulatory reform. Consumers need a level playing field when they negotiate with banks. We do need to make sure that these excessive risks that were taken no longer will be taken, that individual banks, individual institutions like AIG can't take down the entire economy. And those are clear needs. Everybody understands them. The vast majority of the population understands them, except for Glenn Beck.
Yeah. Christian, talk to us about the oil spill now, because, obviously we're so focused on the immediate disaster and the environmental disaster, but I mean, I can't even begin to imagine the financial impact of this. Can you?
No, nobody can. I mean, and the main reason for this is that think about what happened yesterday when the federal government said, oh, by the way, the spill is somewhere between 3 to 5 times or 4 times larger than BP had told us it is.
Yeah.
So
it seems like there's all kinds of layers of criminal activity in this whole.
Well, I mean, part of it is that BP for a while was reluctant to share data with the scientists, wasn't allowing scientists near the well, so it was very hard to actually come up with estimates. A number of estimates had, however, pointed out that the spill was at probably a lot more oil was spilling out of the wellhead than BP was willing to admit. It seems to be very hard to get a clear handle on how much oil is coming out because so much is below the surface. So this is different from like a tanker bursting. And so that means, and the other part is we don't know where it's actually going to end up. So far.
Christian, Jim wanted to ask.
Well, I was just saying, shouldn't we have had Navy submersibles down there taking pictures so at least we had a fair analysis of what was really going on instead of BP's version of it?
Some of them are going down. I don't know whether it's the Navy or the Coast Guard, but some of them are going down. There's some pictures, and there seem to be some reasonable estimates coming out right now in terms of the various, like, I think they call them plumes, these big things that are underwater, and they're spread throughout the Gulf. But the other part is...
But I mean, BP literally said, what did they say, Jim, 1,000, 2,000 barrels at first or something?
Yeah, 5,000 originally.
What's our best estimate now?
12 to 19,000.
So maybe about 5,000 barrels.
Yeah. So there's a lot of oil there. Where it will end up will matter a lot for the economy. And then the other part is we don't know, I mean, exactly how much damage it will do underwater to populations of like sea life.
I mean, and will the fishing industry ever recover from this? In that area?
Eventually, yes. I mean, it will probably recover, but how long it will take and what will be done in the meantime is going to be a big question. And it's not just the fishing industry, it's the tourism industry, which is obviously pretty big in Mississippi and Louisiana. So I think the economic damage, we're just beginning to understand. The good news is that since the Exxon Valdez, there seem to be some good processes of ultimately estimating the damage, but better ways of estimating the damage. But experts
Christian,
are
is there,
beginning to assess it.
I don't know if you know the answer to this legally, but I think it was General Honore that suggested that, you know, they compel BP to start paying now, that there's, you know, so people don't have to wait for these claims, that there's whatever they call it, a trust fund or something, that they have to start paying now.
I honestly couldn't answer the legalities of this. There are some ways of paying for the cleanup, but the bigger issue really in the end is the true economic damages. So it's clear BP, they're always saying like, oh, we're going to clean up and blah, blah, blah. They have the money to do that. The question is, can ultimately a shrimp fisher sue them for the damages done to the entire industry and say, like, basically I lost my livelihood, I have to do something else, this is worth damages several hundred thousand dollars and you have to pay them.
Yeah,
and
this is not Forrest Gump, this is real, what's happening
this
to the
this is real,
yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, we're talking about truly one accident destroying the livelihoods of thousands and thousands of families along the Gulf Coast. I mean, it's a very concentrated impact, and it's not just simply done by, like, cleaning the beaches. It really is how will we get BP to spend the money to rebuild the industries and really rebuild the economic livelihoods of families on the Gulf.
Yep, absolutely. Christian Weller, fancy economist guy from the Center for American Progress. See you next week, sir. Thanks as always.
Thank you very much.
All right, there he goes, fancy economist guy. You know, Jim, that's a good idea. We should have taken pictures from a submarine, put them on our computer, and then frozen it in carbonite.
Ah.
You see how I went there? You didn't see I was going to,
freeze all the oil in carbonite.
Exactly.
It's brilliant.
It's a better idea than anyone else has come up with.
Tell me more about this carbonite you speak of.
Oh, thank you, John. I left my infomercial sidekick back in New York.
Oh,
why?
Boy.
I have priceless files on my computer, John. I have, I don't have my box with me, for God's sakes. The big, exciting announcement next.
Oh, my God.
That was strangely arousing.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Side effects may include loss of clothing, rug burn, shortness of breath, and sore abdominals the next morning. What in the world is up?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What could the announcement be?
Yeah.
That was clunky. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 24 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang, all 3 hours with us in the New York studio of Sturdy Stephanie Miller.
It's a sturdy studio.
It is. I built it myself.
It's a lot less sturdy without you here, Steph.
Mama back home here in L.A. with the Mooks. Oh, it's so Wizard of Oz. That's the announcement. Mama's moving home. I'm coming. Oh, it was awful. I dreamed I moved someplace. It was dirty and expensive. And you weren't there,
and
Jim,
you weren't there.
Why didn't you say so? That's a horse of a different color.
It's not that dirty. They've cleaned it up since the 70s.
It still makes a little bit of its own gravy. No, I love New York. John's going to be all... John's sulking now in New York.
I'm very much in the sulk right now, yes. I'm going to miss you very, very much.
My LA husband, Hal Sparks, called and gloated.
Yeah.
He's like, ha-ha, the LA husband won.
But I just want to say that John will still be with us every Friday from the New York
Bureau.
Yes,
and I'll still be by.
Yep.
I'm still bi-curious. I'll be going back and forth. Whoa. What?
Yes. And I'll still be here to make your East Coast in-studio guests feel creepy.
Stop telling Laura Flanders her hair smells pretty. It's creepy.
Mm, but it do. It'll be very, very sad. I'm very happy for you and the dogs, though. I really am. But I'll miss you a lot. It's not going to be the same without someone to, you know, share my $2 bottle of Andre with.
Martini and Rossi Asti Spumanti.
Mm, yes. Quite the same.
There was a Wizard of Oz. Because, you know, I joke that I moved to New York on a whim because Ed Schultz told me to, which is partially true. Because they had a studio here in L.A. that had too much of a delay, so I couldn't be on from here.
Mm-hmm. Studio too much of a delay, so you can be on here?
Yeah, so this is the Wizard...
See what he did there?
So now, here's the little joke on Mama, Wizard of Oz twist, at the end, is now they have no delay, and Ed's not in the same studio in New York with you anyway when you're there. So it's like, you could have gone home anytime you wanted to. What?
What did you tell me?
Do you know how expensive New York was?
Do you know how much these ruby slippers set me back?
No, I love New York. I do. Great, great city. It's just my lease was up here in L.A. My lease was up in New York. The dogs. And, Jim, I told you that New York has literally kicked my ass. It rejected me like a bad organ, like a bad kidney. I fell in the shower. I'm bruised all the way to Ida.
As mayor of New York City in the county of the Land of Oz.
You don't sound like Michael Bloomberg.
We kick you out most legally.
By the way, here's one thing I learned. Do not make a Wizard of Oz reference to a straight guy. They don't understand it.
That's not true.
That is true.
The big CEO guy in New York. I wrote him and, you know, what was happening. And I said, I'm going to miss you most of all, Scarecrow. And he's like, what? He's like, what are you freaking calling Scarecrow? Why am I a Scarecrow?
Mm. Why am I?
Straight guys are very threatened by Wizard of Oz references. They're like, oh, sneaking up behind
me.
Never seen it.
I've never heard of it. Shut up.
Literally.
Grown up in America and
he
not have
offended.
Seen The Wizard of Oz.
But, like I was calling him a pussy or
but
something.
But straight guys are pretending not to know about it since the gays stole it.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The gays stole
they
The Wizard
it over.
Of Oz.
They
stole it.
It was like Christmas in March when it came on every year on CBS, I think it was.
And then the gays started prancing around it.
Yeah, and they ruined it.
We surrendered to Dorothy.
Surrender Dorothy, damn it.
He did. He went all Joe Pesci on my ass. He's like, where's Scarecrow?
Why? Some kind of farm implement to you?
What? That's unexpected for people in New York?
What, am I made of straw?
Everybody in New York sounds like Joe Pesci.
What? I don't have a brain in you, is that it? Boy. All right. But anyway, I got Max and Fred on Pet Airways, the official pet airline of the Stephanie Miller Show, on coming up in June. So as soon as we can get... Oh, you know what I'm doing before I go? I'm taking John Fugelsang and his wife up to the country for a little ice storm weekend.
That's right.
A little key exchange. A little key party.
I'm bringing nothing but keys and a hat.
I'm sure we'll have some stories
that would be
for that.
A three-way, actually, is what that would be.
You know the kid dies at the end of that.
Oh, ooh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But it was kind of funny in the movie.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah, to be there.
It was Tobey Maguire. Come on. He knew he was fine.
Anyway, but John, you can attest to this as part of the reason, too, is I didn't want to get up at, you know...
That stupid o'clock.
...anymore and go to bed at...
Insane o'clock.
And as it turns out, I'm just as big a loser on the East Coast. Yeah. It does not matter. I'm still an elderly shut-in.
In New York, you get to do it from 9 a.m. till 12 noon. That's great.
It doesn't matter.
I
imported my loserdom across the country.
The cab driver was awful. It's raining. The dogs. I can't possibly. The dog in my show prep.
I want to go where it's safe with the earthquake soon.
All right. Yes, anyway. But we'll still be, we'll still be bicoastal. John will be in New York. I'll be back and forth.
That's right.
And Steph will still be in New York. I'll still be in L.A. We'll be bopping all over the place.
It'll be a lot less poop picking up for me.
Yeah.
I'll still have to pick up Jim sometimes.
No, you're going to make Jesus pick up your poop now.
29 minutes after the hour.
The dogs have their doggy door back.
Right, yay! Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She has weird energy, doesn't she?
Boy, howdy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Mary in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, it's me again.
Hi, Mayor.
The corporate charter gal. Anyway, I just wanted to say I was so pleased when you announced that you were coming back to L.A., not just because I'm a Californian, but also because I won the betting pool at work.
I think the speculation was fairly rife that Mama wasn't going to last. But
I was guessing you'd announce before June, so I guess technically
go.
I won.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Well, good. Yay. Good. You'll take me out for drinks when I come up to San Fran.
Okay, fair enough.
All right.
In fact, we're planning a trip for you up to San Francisco.
Damn.
This summer.
Indeed we are.
That's right.
Exciting. And I know I'm going to Seattle for the town hall.
That's
in,
right.
August, as usual, as we do every year.
That's right.
Let's go to Tom in Indiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tom.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
So, Steph, let me get this straight. You, New York for the winter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom, I think what we've learned is Mama is not very bright, is what we've learned from this whole thing.
Oh, that's funny.
Are you laughing at me?
No, with you. With you.
No, no, you're laughing at me. You're laughing really hard at me. All right,
I actually have a photo of Stephanie Miller in Times Square during a blizzard, and she's smiling, so I'm keeping that by my bedside.
You're not
the first woman I drove away, by the way, out of New York City.
I know. It's not you, baby. Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Steph.
Uh-oh.
Hello. What did I do?
No, you're fine.
I did it right. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey.
No.
Steph?
Yes.
Oh, God. It was really weird there. Anyway, I'm so proud of your suburban radio show yesterday. It was so good. You did you did more than, I'm so, just so proud of you. I mean,
thank you.
Gary an outlet to talk about his pain and
Stephanie is talking about right-wing Jerry from Chicago that called yesterday to talk about his sister's suicide because she was gay, and we that's still up on StephanieMiller.com.
Yeah, absolutely, in the audio widget on the left side of StephanieMiller.com.
And a link to the Trevor Foundation where, you know, people can call. It's a suicide hotline for, you know, gay kids or people in crisis over stuff like that. Okay. Steph, yes.
That is so awesome. I really appreciate it. And I was just a mess all day yesterday. I couldn't call in because I was just crying. I just, you know, Jerry's made my head explode, and yesterday just made my heart explode because my heart cries out for him. But here's my little thing. Since you're moving back to L.A., does this mean we can start dissing you again about your bridal path?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, you know what? The mooks lie no matter what coast they're on. I do not have a bridal path. They're just trying to separate me from my people.
Well, you know, your garden care department, it was a little hard to, you know, we could harass you a little bit about that. But, you know, L.A., there's a lot more information, a lot more material there for us.
Well, I'm my dog's mom. As we speak right now, Max and Fred are being watched by Kevin Bacon's dog walker. Remember, that was my one degree of Kevin Bacon.
That's right.
You're such a superstar.
And listen, any single mother will understand my decision. You know when I made this decision, Chris? You remember I was walking the dogs in Central Park?
Yes.
And they saw their dog walker, and they went crazy, and they wanted to go with her. And I'm like, I am your mother. That's just the nanny. I can't be an absentee mom anymore.
Well, it's like when you got attached to your nanny when you were growing up.
Exactly.
There you go again, separating me from my people.
Your mother was livid.
John in Asheville in North Carolina just wants us to know he's drunk. Hello, John.
Yes.
Yes.
Why did you leave New York in springtime? I mean, you went there in the wintertime.
In the fall.
But still, New York sucks in the fall and winter.
No, it doesn't. All fall is the best
fall
in New York.
And spring are great.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a weak immune system, pal.
John, you're drunk, aren't you?
That's what I told your caller.
Me too. Okay.
But I'm your pathetic little man.
What are you drinking?
Vodka and tonic.
There you go.
Good.
Breakfast of champions.
And by the way, I haven't been back in L.A. that long. I know it's only 10:30 in the morning in New York. Good job. Party on. Good times. All right. The show is a lot better if you drink. Okay. Let's go to Tom in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Tom. Oops. I did the thing wrong again.
What are you doing over
there? I'm drunk. Tom, hello.
He must be. Hello. I am here. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I just wanted to call in. I'm a liberal Democrat who's been working in in-house corporate law departments in Fortune 500 companies for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, and this isn't a punk, I mean, I'm telling the truth. During that time, I've seen Reagan come in, and between 1980 and now, there's been just increasing deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
And as an insider, even though it makes my life miserable to deal with regulation, it is nowhere near as miserable as dealing with the consequences of no regulation.
Yeah, yeah. Jim blames me.
Corporations, the courts deal with corporations as persons, and in a sense they are, because they have their own sort of personalities, if you will. And we sometimes conflate the individuals in the corporations, you know, like the chairman of BP and so on. I can't speak to him as a person, but I know that there are a lot of good people in corporations. There are a lot of not good people. Let's say
not him, though. Remember, he's not just a person. He's a bastard person.
I'm a good person.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I know Jim blames me for the oil spill because I voted for Reagan because I was the only one.
That's right.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
By the way, you know, being a squishy liberal,
yes,
not a big fan of the death penalty. However, vandals have slashed hundreds of feet of booms in Pensacola,
yeah,
rendering them useless and soaking up oil from the massive Gulf spill.
Well,
what
they
kind
should
of
be forced
asshat?
To go clean up the oil spill without any protection, like they've been doing with, I noticed on TV, it's all black people doing all that work. It seems, but where they're breathing benzene fumes and they're making them sick.
Yeah.
Well, it's also, you know, they're shrimpers who can't, you know, shrimp right now. They're,
right.
They've hired the shrimpers to go out.
Right.
So
right.
At least they have a job right now.
Right.
Arguably,
know, still.
Yeah. The beach cleanup is arguably the first jobs Bush has created. So let's keep that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Better
late than neighbor.
Neighbor. Never.
Neighbor. Huh? President
neighbor.
Obama yesterday.
Who's responsible? I take responsibility. It is my job to make sure that everything is done to shut this down. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean it's going to happen right away or the way I'd like it to happen. It doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. But there shouldn't be any confusion here. The federal government is fully engaged. And I'm fully engaged.
Unfortunately, the federal government also includes Hank Salazar. But, you know...
Mm.
Yeah.
Fair point.
I wish
Al Gore hadn't conceded. We wouldn't have this going on right now.
Critics of the government's response don't know the facts. He said, those who think we were either slow in our response or lack urgency don't know the facts. We understood from day one the potential enormity of this crisis and acted accordingly. The president again. Yeah.
In case you're wondering who's responsible, I take responsibility. It is my job to make sure that everything is done to shut this down.
He did mention Salazar, Jim. He said Salazar came in and started cleaning house, but the culture didn't change at MMS, and I absolutely take responsibility for that. Clearly it didn't change enough fast enough.
Still not used to having an adult in the White House. I'm sorry. I'm still shocked.
I know. See, even using the word responsibility.
The problem, I don't think, is that BP is off running around doing whatever it wants, and nobody's minding the store. Inevitably, in something this big, there are going to be places where things fall short.
By the by, though, did you see them, BP and Transocean, playing the blame game again? The American chief of BP told the House Natural Resources Committee that Gulf residents who have had their income interrupted by the oil spill have collected more than $37 million from the oil giant. But while touting its payouts to victims of the oil spill, BP is still engaged in a blame game with its subcontractor.
Mm-hmm.
The chairman of BP said Transocean was responsible for the safe operation of the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig. Transocean CEO shifted blame away from his company. Mm-hmm. He told the committee that the explosion occurred after the well construction process was essentially finished.
Oh, dear.
So this is what, I mean, that's...
This is why we should nationalize oil companies, command structure.
Did you see, I saw a report this morning that even with, you know, BP paying for all the cleanup and, you know, compensating all the fishermen and fixing the oil well, they're still going to turn a profit.
Yep.
Exactly. And who do we blame for the expression top kill, by the way? Who gets blamed for that?
Yeah.
I don't want
what?
The solution
top
to sound
kill.
Like a gay sex slasher film. At this point, BP has failed so many times, NBC's offered them the 11:30 p.m. slot.
Would you rather have bottom kill?
Yeah, I'd rather power bottom kill.
Okay.
You know, kids. Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, que tal, adios mio. Hello, Sanchez. Oh, I did it wrong again. That's my fault. Sorry. Sanchez, welcome. Yes.
Mamacita y los mookies con fugo thing. Muy buenos nachos. Hey, relay that story real quick about your dogs meeting your dog walker in New York City. What happened again, and that's what made you move? What happened again?
No, they love the nanny more than me. I can't be an absentee mother anymore.
Come on, admit it, Steph. The reason you wanted to do that is because your nanny was teaching your dog Spanish.
Yeah, they barked with an accent.
Yeah.
I couldn't take the parental pressure. There was one woman I ran into in Central Park has two teeny little dogs.
Right.
And she was like, oh, my God, how many times do my dogs go out 6 times a day? I have 2 dog walkers, and they're in doggy daycare.
Oh, God.
I was like, jeez. Oh, no. They're never going to get into the right dog college if I don't get them into a dog daycare.
Oh, my God. And how many years did you have to wait at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Hey, John, you were just talking about something right now about how BP has been hiring all of the local fishermen. The problem here, and this is my main concern about BP, is the sort of blatant power that they seem to be wielding. Did any of you guys see Democracy Now!'s episode yesterday?
I did not.
Okay. They had Clint Guidry. He's the president of the Louisiana Shrimp Association. And he was discussing how at least 7 fishermen have been involved in the cleanup of the BP oil spill, and they've been hospitalized after reporting nausea, dizziness, and headaches and all this stuff. And the problem here is BP, even when the fishermen want to wear respirators to protect themselves, BP is preventing them from doing so.
Right.
And, yeah, and, I mean, you know what it's going to be? They're going to be this decade's firemen and rescue workers, the same people that were
they
were treated at the Twin Towers demolition on 9/11.
Because it makes them look bad if they're wearing protective gear.
And did you hear, did you see Tony Hayward talking about the dispersant yesterday? He's like, well, the second we find a more effective, you know, less toxic,
after we destroy all life in the Gulf.
I'm yelling BS at the TV screen because I'm like, no, the EPA identified several that were, you know, but you're not in bed corporately with those companies.
England banned the very substance they
corrects it.
In.
Yeah. 46 minutes after the hour, right back with the latest on the oil spill on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm sorry, that's inappropriate.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
A freak like me just needs
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang back in the New York Bureau. Steph and the Mooks here in L.A. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, sorry. I'm just learning how to use it again. Buddy in Columbus, hello.
Hey, Mama, we might have a little good news on the oil thing.
Yeah.
According to some things, they say it stopped.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're saying that we won't know for sure until when exactly?
Well, the thing is that they're trying to put the pressure down into it, and they've got to calibrate it, because if they put too much too fast and they bust the pipes, then you get everything coming back up. And it's like all this stuff that you guys make fun of, junk shots and top kills and drilling mud, this stuff has been done for hundreds of years, but never
a mile deep.
Down.
Yeah. Never a mile deep.
Never a mile down. And the other thing, too, is I read the report, and I was like, oh, I'm happy to read it, but then it's coming from BP, and I wouldn't trust those guys if they said it got cold and dark at Christmas Eve.
I know. I was saying that to the CNN reporter we had on yesterday, Chris. You know, when he'll say something, I'll be like, who told you that, BP? You know what I mean? You don't know what to believe. You're like, okay, okay. So I'll just take that to the bank. Senator Mary Landrieu says the president will pay a political price for his lack of visibility. Gee, John, she's always so supportive of everything he's trying to do.
I know. I'm shocked. Just shocked. She's
and
so
I'm going to hold this administration, you know, feet to the fire, just like I held the Bush administration's feet to the fire.
Right. Except that this is man-made.
It was a very cozy fire.
Yeah, someone was saying this would be like if Hurricane Katrina went on for 35 days or whatever. I mean, it's you know, I think that, you know, the president basically summed it up when he said the people don't know the facts. A lot of the stuff, by the way, people were screaming about,
mm-hmm.
our callers, they were doing that. Like, how come he's not? He was doing a lot of the stuff that was talked about. Representative Charlie Melikon, yes. This is the Democrat from Louisiana that everybody was talking about that just broke down when he was talking.
Our culture is threatened. Our coastal economy is threatened. And everything that I know and love is at risk. Even though this martial law is along coastal Louisiana, these are America's wetlands. I just wish to submit for the record. Thank you.
We thank the gentleman and every member of our committee, and every American is praying for the people of Louisiana and the people of the Gulf. It's just an unimaginable tragedy.
And Representative Melikon had to get up
and he had to leave
the hearing.
I know. Yeah, I know. I mean, these pictures just mean they can't get worse, then they get worse. And you just go, oh, God. I mean,
it's not like, you know, it's a beach, which is relatively easy to clean up. It's wetlands with mm-hmm. all of these strands of, you know, marsh grass. And
right.
It's exactly. It's just looks like it's going to be impossible to clean all of that up.
Yeah. Governor.
And it's one of the worst times of the year for it as well.
Well,
I mean, if you think oil and water don't mix, wait till you see oil and hurricanes.
Yeah. Governor Bobby Jindal. Yes,
where we stand today should be full of economic activity, fishermen. The mayor was telling me Grand Isle should see over 10,000 people as we go into Memorial Day weekend. We flew over the beaches. They were deserted.
So that's why we need less regulation. Regulations
exactly.
like hurricane, like volcano monitoring. Don't need it.
Well, exactly. One of the inspiring things about this horrible story is this seems to be, on the surface, an area where Democrats and Republicans alike can come together and blame, you know, corporate recklessness and
yep.
corruption for this tragedy. However, I'm really afraid that we're going to, you know, really have Republicans be ever more resistant to regulation.
Mm-hmm.
After Massey and after Wall Street, now this, the time is right for, we don't need bigger government, we need better government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mark in Minneapolis writes, Steph, America is faced with a looming seafood crisis, but at least you can still get crabs from Ann Coulter. I don't know what Mark meant by that. That doesn't seem...
How desperate do you have to be to get crabs, man? Cool.
Oh, I'm glad we're having some highbrow.
That would be the only place you could still get them.
Highbrow, lowbrow, unibrow. Come on, John. Haven't you learned that by now?
The program. All right. James Carville, who appears, Jim, to be... I mean, listen, I could understand the stress of being married to Mary Madeline, but she was twitchy, wasn't she, on CNN yesterday? What is...
Well, she's out in daylight, you know, and she's not a daywalker, so...
And she was being seen with James Carville.
She seriously wouldn't stop touching her hair and her eyes, and I was like, what's wrong with her? James Carville.
This president needs to tell BP, I'm your daddy, I'm in charge, you're going to do what we say. You're a multinational company that is greedy, and you may be guilty of criminal activity.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can do it to Wall Street.
I think the president said all that yesterday, though, didn't he?
No, it's the part about being their daddy.
Yeah, he didn't say who's your daddy. You're right. Okay, Cindy in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Okay, and Mooks. I got two things. One is your move back out to California.
Yeah.
And two is the BP gusher. First, your move. I think you went to New York, did P90X, you got your California body back, and that's why you're going back.
Exactly.
To show off.
Exactly. And I'm bringing my P90X chin-up bar with me.
Do you know how to remove it from your doorway?
No, I'll have to get John Fugelsang to come do that.
Exactly.
And the second thing is the BP, the ultimate actor, I think, to play the boyishly menacing British spokesman would be either Michael Sheen, who played Tony Blair in The Queen, or Stewie from Family Guy.
Would you mind cleaning my tarballs, please?
Creepy,
to the left.
Who's the creepy guy in Die Hard? It should be that evil British guy.
I never saw
Alan
that.
Rickman.
Alan Rickman.
Yes!
I never saw
yes.
it.
Yes. Let's go to Dave in Buffalo. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
You know that I love you.
Yes.
There's something seriously wrong with you. To trade in a job where you got to show up at 9 or show up at 6?
Right, right. Thank
That's
you, logical human.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, but if you're as big a, trust me, Dave, if you're as big a loser as I am, I have no social life anywhere, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, I would have moved to Newfoundland or something like that and get to work at noon.
Exactly. Thank you.
That's my next move, like three times
yeah.
away.
Move to Reykjavik. There you go.
Good day, Newfies. And I don't mean the dogs, eh?
Alice in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Alice.
Don't you find that it's heartwarming that the that McCain is bitching about the fence, the rest of them are screaming about the Sestak story, and they're blocking Don't Ask, Don't Tell as best they can. It's all just so wonderful, what would you call it? Anyway.
Yeah, no, exactly. Don't you love that? We have the biggest environmental disaster in our history. They're like, let's impeach the president over the Sestak. Oh, please. God. Whatever.
Thank you, Isa.
Yeah. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World, Celebrity Stack, and much more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
My listeners make me laugh.
Oh.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller. John Fuglesang in our New York bureau for Fridays with Fuglesang.
Holla back.
Paul puts the Aryan in Libertarian.
Yeah.
Where's my butter commercial music? Of course, the big announcement this morning, if you missed it. Mom, I'm moving back to L.A. Whatever. Who cares about my stupid life?
Yeah, like we didn't see that coming a mile away.
Chris in Yankton writes, staff, fess up. The reason you're moving back to your luxurious L.A. estate is your New York house doesn't have a central vacuum system. If you had one, maybe you could use it to suck up the rats scuttling around your house. Yes, John, the vermin have arrived in my New York house. It's time for me to gotta go now.
Oh, have you gotten cats instead of giant dinosaur dogs? You wouldn't have that problem.
Oh, yeah. No, they're of no use at all. They were actually scared. I yelled for them to come, and then Max took a little. He was like, oh, did I miss it? Oh, well.
Some of the rats in New York are bigger than cats. So
you know,
I'm not sure that would
you know cats hate Mises to pieces.
Do they now?
So I've heard.
I have not heard that.
Uh-huh.
Here's some breaking news out of Germany. Wow, did these guys work for BP? Bank robbers in Germany miscalculated the amount of explosives need to open the front door and instead level the entire building.
Oh! It happens, it happens.
Only the safe and the ATM machine survived intact.
Verdammt nochmal! Das gibt's doch nicht!
Were they
this
at least
what happened to Valkyrie?
Valkyrie, oh,
yeah.
Yeah. In other Tom Cruise news.
And we didn't even get the Führer!
If they were living in a bunker, that wouldn't have happened.
By the way, speaking of Tom Cruise news, check out this headline. Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes review their marriage daily.
What?
Doesn't that sound like fun?
Oh, yeah.
Do you and your wife, Juniper, do that?
She gets a disconnection rundown every night.
Look, folks, Tom Cruise is a very straight man who really enjoys making out with women in front of photographers, okay? Get off his case.
Yes.
The couple always try to learn from their mistakes and consult each other on how to correct their errors. That makes marriage sound so great.
I think Tom does most of the consulting.
He says, you know, I'm married to such a special woman. Every night before we go to sleep, Katie and I look at each other and it's like, how do we do today? I would just be like, shut up. Can't you see I'm watching Keith? Also, Jim, he was an impressionist when he was, a kid, he said, I create different characters and ad-lib sketches to make my sisters and my mom feel better. I do Donald Duck and John Wayne.
Wow. Did you do Donald Duck as John Wayne?
Yeah. Now that's a feat.
Quack, quack. Aw. Pilgrim. I'm not going to hit you. The hell I'm not going to hit you.
This would explain a couple of his less popular films. Tom Cruise discusses his career plans with his 4-year-old daughter, Suri.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Apparently her judgment's a little off. The actor describes the story contained in his scripts to Suri and then listens to her questions because he thinks it makes him a better actor. He said, I'll put Suri on a swing and tell her stories when I'm working on a script.
Well, now we know who greenlit Valkyrie.
Yeah, exactly.
Suri,
What do you think about my latest script idea? It's a high-concept, fish-out-of-water, sci-fi, coming-of-age biopic, romantic comedy, thriller, slasher, docu-farce, snuff film. We're in space aliens from the planet Oprah fly their hyperdrive intergalactic couches to Earth 75 million years ago to dump suppressive and glib Scientology deniers into volcanoes so they can have a ComEv emitter disconnection rundown until they become clear. Crystal. Or get burned to a little puddle of suppressive and glib liquid hot magma. What do you think? How are we doing today?
Daddy, you're full of...
No! I can't stay mad at you.
Oh.
Maybe she didn't... She probably just didn't understand the levels of erotic tension in Eyes Wide Shut. What's wrong with you?
She wasn't alive for that. She wasn't alive for that.
No.
That was a while ago.
Well, neither was the audience, by the way.
I love Eyes Wide Shut. It's a terrific film.
I really liked Eyes Wide Shut.
It's aged very well. It has.
So
it,
you have to watch it.
She gets
naked in that briefly.
Yes, she does.
The headline from The Superficial, Jesse James, my dad hit me, so I had to bang all those whores.
Oh. Well, my dad hit me. Damn it. Who knew I could use that for an excuse?
My mom hit me with a metal spoon. Oh.
I wish my dad had hit Jesse James more.
Superficial writes, during Jesse James' interview with Nightline, he revealed he was abused by his father, which apparently caused his penis to fall into the tattooed badge of the Third Reich. Oh, boy. Meanwhile, Sandra Bullock going to be making her first public appearance since the unpleasantness.
Oh.
She will be at the MTV, she's getting the MTV Generation Award during the 2010 MTV Movie Awards.
Oh, Lord, hasn't she suffered enough?
No.
Come on.
No.
All right.
And this, I just love the delisted headline. Adrian Brody is scared of rapey gay goats.
Huh?
Adrian Brody tried to buy two lady goats for his New York farm, but instead he was sold two dude goats. Not just any dude goats, but one of his goats had a giant peen.
Oh, God.
Adrian explains, the more well-endowed goat took a liking to the other one, and I swear it was traumatic. There was a lot of crying and goat noses, and I felt incredibly guilty, and I didn't know what to do. I had homosexual goats. It's best when you have goats that are gay to let them free, because I felt they were in captivity, and one was receiving a lot of aggression on the other one's half, so I sent them off to Sonoma. Sodomy in Sonoma. Now we really know why George Clooney won't stop staring at goats.
I
think that's a better video than a two-year-old smoking, personally.
Yes. Have you seen that video, Stephanie?
No.
Of a two-year-old in India smoking?
Oh, that is... I've been too busy watching the cat and it keeps flushing the toilet. Have you seen that one? He keeps looking down there and then he does it again. Stupid kid.
That's a very smart cat, actually.
Yeah, I wish my cat would learn that. I wouldn't have to
scoop
anything.
It is like the cat and Meet the Parents, but it really does it. It just keeps flushing the toilet over and over. Okay.
The water bill must be out.
Yeah.
God.
That's why I said stupid cat. They say that once a month when they get the water bill.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No more sushi-grade tuna for you, Skippy.
Liza Minnelli blamed Michael Jackson for her allowing her to marry Michael, what's his name? Or David Guest.
David Guest.
Oh, yeah.
So let me get this straight. She was counting on Michael Jackson's romantic judgment. So that.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her fourth wedding to concert promoter David Guest, who was, I guess that would be the fourth gay guy she married.
Sure.
Like mother, like daughter.
took place in 2002 with their pal Michael acting as best man. She spoke to the pop legend after the ceremony and begged him to explain why he had allowed her to go through with it.
What?
Because, she knew they would never have the magic that he and Lisa Marie Presley had.
Is she going to blame Michael for her appearance in Sex and the City too?
Is she in that?
Oh,
yes.
She's in it.
She sings Single Ladies in that.
Oh, fabulous. I can't wait.
No, it's getting the world's worst review, Stephanie.
That film is the
really?
Cinema.
Yeah.
Botox is the
I'll
feminism.
I'll still love it. I'll still love it.
Even Sarah Jessica Parker is distancing herself from it.
You will not love it. That movie hates women so much. It's got an all Ike Turner soundtrack.
That's why I moved out of New York now. See?
Uh-huh.
All right. That was it. That was the last straw. All right. Rapper 50 Cent has lost 54 pounds.
So now he's 25 cents.
Wow.
Exactly. I was going to get to that.
I'm sorry.
We crashed into each other.
Yeah, we did.
We did. He's he's a quarter, maybe.
He's 2 bits.
I'd be down to a dime soon.
2 bits.
He lost weight for a new film. Mm-hmm. A film. All right. Sue in Rockville, Maryland on the oil spill. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. I just thought we should end the week saying Mama is always right.
Thank you.
And that includes your move because you're doing it for your children, and that's always a good thing.
Yes.
But in terms of Obama and the whole BP response, I just have two comments. First is, no matter what Obama does, he's going to be wrong. Okay, if he had gone down there more, the right wing would be screaming. He's politicizing it. He's getting in the way. If he stays home, he's damned because he's not there. If he's there, he's damned because he's politicizing it. So he can't win.
Well. Yeah.
So given that, let's just move on to the fact that the media and the American people have the attention span of a hyperactive three-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
And if things can't be resolved in 3 days, people cannot tolerate frustration. Mm, they cannot tolerate things being open-ended. And then they just start looking for people and things to blame.
But there's a larger problem than that. They were a little too beholden to BP before this even happened. And they never should have. He never should have brought in Ken Salazar, you know, who pushed him to doing offshore drilling.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely right. And when there were just so many problems, I mean, you really see the magnitude of how much Cheney and Bush just really screwed
right.
this country up.
Yeah, and some people, like Gingrich, literally, he's, you know, thinks there's no reason at all to stop drilling.
What?
Like, this is,
that's because he's still on the payroll of the major oil companies.
Exactly. He was asked whether it's time to reevaluate support for increasing offshore drilling. Frankly,
I don't like seafood, so screw him. Frankly.
He said, I think most Americans realize in the long run we need the oil. No.
Most Americans realize that I'm a big fat tool.
Do you think California and the East Coast are going to be off the table? No. I don't think so, because there was a specific mistake made. I think it can be fixed. What do you mean it can be fixed? This can probably never be fixed.
Yeah.
I mean,
Newton's suspect of giving marriage advice, I think.
Yeah. But 2 weeks before this happened, we got a call from somebody saying, we were talking about the 69 oil spill in Santa Barbara. They said, oh, that could never happen now. The technology is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's
mm-hmm.
perfect. And then 2 weeks later, kablooey.
Yeah.
So I'm very wary of the whole nuclear push.
It was a bigger boom than kablooey.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon boom.
Yeah. But, you know, if they keep pushing for the safety of that wonderful clean nuclear energy. We may be about due for another Three Mile Island thing. So
you know, there's not a lot of hemp spills going on. That's all I want to say. Not a lot of wind spills. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Not a lot of solar leaks. This thing is the most hideous thing to hit American shores since Uggs.
I beg your pardon.
That's right. I said it.
Now, okay, fine. See, now you're lashing out. Now that I'm leaving New York, you're lashing out at my footwear.
It's displacement. My dad, Jesse James' dad, beat me. I can do whatever I want. It's the Axl Rose mentality.
So did you see Karl Rove wrote that the Gulf spill is Obama's Katrina?
Yeah.
Is that implicitly admitting that that Katrina was Bush's Katrina?
That's right. They did a whole montage of that on Keith the other night, saying, oh, this is Obama's blah, go down the line of Bush catastrophes. So they finally acknowledging that Bush was a major catastrophe.
Yeah, it was a catastrophe.
Mm-hmm. All this stuff is Obama's version.
By the way, Karl Rove, as you recall, in charge of, in fact, he touted that in his book, that he was in charge of the Katrina response.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Think Progress goes on to say, by filling the Minerals Management Service, the government agency responsible for regulating offshore drilling with industry shills who took drugs and had sex with the officials they were supposed to be policing, the Bush administration dangerously eroded the regulatory regime and missed warnings that could have helped prevent the BP disaster.
Missing warnings? When did that ever happen?
I want to hear Jim DeMint defending that.
Yeah.
So we've had our first, what's her name? Birnbaum, the head of the mineral MMS, has left the top post. So it was described as a voluntary move by her. I mean, I assume it was. Right. She was quit before she got fired, I take it, right?
I'm sure she was told to quit before she got fired, or she would be fired.
Yeah, Obama was a little shaky on that. Did she quit or was she fired?
One of those. By the way, there's some news coming out about the SESTAC job offer from the White House.
Yes.
Apparently, the White House is saying that they enlisted former President Clinton as a go-between to offer SESTAC the job.
Where
is this?
Wow, it's going to be. Christmas just came early to Fox News. Something's Bill Clinton's fault again.
Once Clinton wasn't being offered a job. But, you know.
Jim
Warren. But I guess that's how they get around the legality of it, because it wasn't actually someone in the White House offering the job. It was Bill Clinton.
Scoundrel Bill Clinton.
More on this as we continue.
Hey, don't worry, man. I'll take the heat. I'm used to it.
The GOP didn't want Sarah Palin to run, so they offered her a job on Fox News.
Yeah, we'll look into that story a little bit more and have some more for you when we get back.
You gave me those two chicks from North Korea, you know. I'm just saying. I'm lit to serve.
And 1 hour later, I was hungry for more. But, you know.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. Ronnie in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, baby.
So they drummed you out of New York, and you come pouring back to Hollywood. Well, good for you. Hollywood goes for booze and dope.
There you go. That's the difference.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
That's right. So I have a hot date with Hal Sparks tomorrow night.
No.
We're going.
That's the one part he left out of the quote, though.
By the way, my knees are scabby from crawling back and forth. I'm doing a lot of crawling these days. Dear God. All right. So the president yesterday on the CESTAC
issue. Will be an official response shortly on the CESTAC issue, which I hope will answer your questions. You will get it from my administration. So, and it will be coming out. When I say shortly, I mean shortly. I don't mean weeks or months. I can assure the public that nothing improper took place.
So the breaking news this morning, former President Bill Clinton was enlisted by the White House to speak with CESTAC about dropping his primary challenge against Arlen Specter. At the suggestion of Rahm Emanuel, Clinton was dispatched to gauge CESTAC's commitment to the Senate run. According to sources, no compensated position was directly offered. He was offered a prominent but unpaid advisory position is what they're saying.
That's still kind of shady.
Oh, that's politics. That's how it's done all the time.
I love this. Seven Republicans on the Senate Judiciary have sent a letter to Attorney General Eric Holder asking him to appoint a special prosecutor.
Yeah, that'll happen.
It's like, oh, please. People, the I word has already been thrown out, impeachment. It's like,
yeah,
are you
right.
Yeah, but that, I was thrown out by Daryl Issa, who's the very man we have to blame for Schwarzenegger's economy right now.
Yeah.
He's the guy who started the recall Gray Davis thing because he wanted to be governor. And then as soon as Schwarzenegger announced he was running, Issa tearfully withdrew from the race. So he's a shady character.
He's also the one responsible for step away from the car.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
He started the Viper car alarm company.
Oh!
Yes. Yep. Please step away from the car.
So that's the guy who threw out the impeachment word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please step away from regulating Enron.
Carrie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. If you don't have any drilling, how are you going to get to California? You know, ride your bike or...
drilling or there'll be no gasoline.
Yeah, that's right.
All cars are
stopping. Well, I mean, really, how are you going to do it?
Oh, come on.
Come on, dude. I'm shipping my car.
2% of the world's oil. And is it worth destroying the environment to get it? I mean,
Do you really think that the 2% of the world's oil that we have it affects oil prices in any way?
Oil prices aren't even tied to supply and demand anymore. Yeah. It's all big scam.
Oil, how are you going to get there without oil? How are you going to fly an airplane?
We only have 2% of the world's oil.
And how much do we use?
So is that where we get it for our airplanes?
We get it from the world market. Everybody gets it from the world market.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Uh-huh, well, yeah. Okay, sulk away, Carrie.
God. Yeah. He might affect energy policy because I'd be like, oh, I can't get home now.
By the way, they just showed F-18s flying on biofuel. I don't know what kind it was, but that's huge. I mean, you can fly an F-18. You can
exhaust smells like French fries?
Probably, yeah. Wow.
I don't want to hear it, Jim. We're staying in the 20th century if it kills us.
We need to go back to piston engines.
That's what we need. And stagecoaches.
And biplanes.
Stagecoaches. How about rickshaws?
All right.
Biplane action.
The president talking about the Arizona immigration law yesterday. President
Obama. I understand the frustrations of the people of Arizona and a lot of folks along the border that border has not been entirely secured in a way that is both true to our traditions as a nation of law and as a nation of immigrants. I'm president of the United States. I don't endorse boycotts or not endorse boycotts. That's something that the private citizens can make a decision about.
By the way, the Arizona Department of Education, as you know, recently began telling school districts teachers who spoke in English it deemed to be heavily accented or ungrammatical must be removed from classes.
Well, there goes everyone in the South.
Yes.
Yeah, or everyone from Britain or...
The man in
Canada.
Yes, the man in charge, far-right-wing Arizona Superintendent Tom Horn, has been going on national media in recent days to defend his policies. He said, "We're not going after any accents, including Spanish accents. It has to be faulty English. If students are being taught English and they're going to refer to comma as coma, people aren't going to understand them."
Right. What if it's a president who says nuclear?
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. What about that?
Should be impeached.
You know, the same people who said Ebonics would destroy America gave us Bush.
All right. 29.
Is our children learning a question they're rarely asked?
What if they call a truck a lorry? What if they call an elevator a lift?
What if your French teacher has a French accent?
Oh, my God.
29 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow. She just never shuts up.
Thank God I found work doing that. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Jerry in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jerry.
Thank you. There's no question Joe Sestak is qualified to be the Secretary of the Navy. If there was any conditions that went along with them offering the job, it's irrelevant. He couldn't be both. He can't be a senator from Pennsylvania and the Secretary of the Navy. If it's a part-time job, I want it.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any confirmation that that was what he was offered. It apparently was an unpaid advisory position. It wasn't Secretary of the Navy. If that's who put out the statement, the White House or
But I mean, if it's unpaid, I mean, what would he do for, like, a job?
They were saying that's why they dropped the idea, because he couldn't stay in Congress. What the idea was to stay in Congress and to have also an advisory position, but they couldn't. So that's why the idea was dropped. Okay, Jose in San Francisco. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Stephanie Moose.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, I got a little bit of the irony pitch. We have British Petroleum here. They, have record-breaking profits, and yet we're actually at war in other parts of the world, exploiting oil from other parts of the globe, and yet the British are here. Where's the teabaggers? This is like the classic case of it's just amazing.
Ah. All right, Jose, thank you.
Hmm. Well,
all right, let's see.
Succinct.
Let's just chew on that for a while.
All right,
maybe not.
Yeah, no.
All right.
Cotton candy. It dissolved the whole thing.
Yeah, it's not there anymore. It's like a baby aspirin.
Like a pop rock. That just...
Aspirin.
That was a Flintstones vitamin.
What was the caloric count on that sentence?
Let's dive into the Right Wing World, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. All right. What? What are you looking at?
No, I was... my soundboard was a little late in starting there.
Okay. What's his name? Stephen Hayes? Is that his name?
Stephen Hayes.
On the Britain Bear.
I think that the political problems are just starting. I think he cannot possibly go out a lot now, because it will only highlight by way of contrast, how little he was out before in front of the situation.
Mm. Oh, I see. So essentially, once again, he can't do anything right now.
Right, right.
I see.
He can't go hide. He can't come out. Everything he does is wrong, and he should be impeached immediately. Clearly.
By the way, we might want to keep in mind that in Right Wing World, everything he did was wrong before the oil spill.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yes. Also, with the Sestak thing, the real question is, was there a quid pro quo?
Right.
And there doesn't seem to have been any.
You know,
go ahead, John.
Well, just if asking someone to give up their dreams in exchange for a job was illegal, DC and Hollywood would go out of business.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's how the business is run.
Exactly. Eric Bowling on the Fox Business Channel.
Today, day 38, we find it's likely 1 million gallons a day. Had the Obama administration gone in there, sent the Army Corps of Engineers into that hole, into the dig, and find out that there's 1 million gallons a day, and BP had no way of stopping this, they may have started not day 38. They didn't let it leak so he could renege on his promise to allow some offshore drilling?
Oh.
This is Reagan's Katrina, folks.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Oh, this is the conspiracy theory. He's letting it leak. He wants it to leak.
So that he can renege on his promise for more offshore drilling.
So he couldn't just say, you know, it's a bad idea. I'm not going to do it. He had to wait for this massive
catastrophe. He could have. What was the suggestion
which
there?
They're blaming him for.
He could have sent the Army Corps of Engineers into the hole.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Because they have submarines, you see. That would be the Navy Corps of Engineers that would have the submarines.
I see.
Yeah. But anyway, they'd be robotic in any case.
Right.
No one can survive at that depth.
All right. Drug addled gas bag, Rush Limbaugh.
Barack Obama doesn't even know how to pronounce the Army Corps of Engineers. He thinks it's Corps of Engineers. And now he's the best person to run the Army Corps of Engineers. When he's not. We're dealing here with somebody who is just outclassed
by
the job.
Right. Outclassed by George
Bush.
He's
just not up to it.
Because Rush knows so much about life in the Army after his five anal cyst deferments.
I have never heard President Obama say Corps of Engineers.
No.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. Wow. Okay, Glenn Beck on the radio and Fox.
God forbid, you know, Roger Ailes or Rupert Murdoch, you know, are hit by a newspaper truck, which, you know, it would be a scary place to be at Fox News. It would be. Those two hold off the outside world.
They protect him.
How high is he?
And is Glenn Beck like the last season of Lost and nothing's explained?
Yeah, he is the smoke monster.
What? Yeah, exactly. What does that, huh?
Well, that would be ironic if Rupert Murdoch were hit by a newspaper truck. That would be another verse for the Alanis Morissette song.
Yeah,
that would actually be irony.
But. Absolutely.
Isn't it ironic?
A fly in your Chardonnay? No.
No.
Really.
No. 10,000 spoons and all you need is a knife? No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, newspapers may be going out of business, but they took you out first.
Absolutely.
So.
Hey.
All right. Michelle Mulkin on the Fox and Freaks.
This idea that now they're using this crisis to pander to the eco-radicals is also not going to improve their numbers either. It's not just the fact that he's putting a moratorium on new permits, but apparently the environmentalists are pressing them to stall pending applications. For oil drilling in Alaska and I believe on the West Coast as well.
Gee, why would they do that, I wonder? Those crazy eco-radicals.
Anything to deflect blame away from BP. These people, we got to start calling these people what they are, radical corporate extremists. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what Michelle Mulkin is.
The president is using this crisis, which he obviously created on his own, to pander to echo.
In Kenya.
Radicals?
Yes. That was from noted anchor baby Michelle Mulkin.
Ah, that's right. She is an anchor baby.
If you believe Obama's behind this, I've got a Kenya birth certificate I want to sell you.
Did you see? That was clever yesterday at the press conference, wasn't it? He said, I'm from Hawaii, where we think the ocean is sacred. Oh, that story again. You were born in Hawaii. Okay. Newt Gingrich on Greta Van Susteren.
Frankly, this administration is trivializing the economy. It's trivializing Iran. It's trivializing the oil problem. It's trivializing the border. And there comes a point when you can't do enough fundraisers to make up for the damage you're doing to your own administration.
The damage he's doing to his own administration?
Yes, by trivial... What?
What?
Wow. I think the important thing there is Newt Gingrich is now doing an impression of Jim Ward doing an impression of him.
I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'll ramble on anyway, frankly, as long as it makes Obama look bad in some way, frankly, and then frankly, I'll keep saying it, frankly. The more I say frankly, the more you know I'm lying, frankly.
Frankly.
He became a Catholic and made my religion even more creepy.
Yeah.
All right. Laura Ingraham on O'Reilly on the oil spill.
We heard from him today the following, that his daughters, when he's shaving, says, Daddy, have you plugged the hole yet? Right. We heard from him that, you know, this is why I don't do drill, baby, drill, sideswipe at Palin. You know, he was doing so much of his own environmental cleanup for his own PR and his own reputation and dispersing all of these chemicals of his own to try to, push past the public disapproval. By the end of it was like, what are the results? What exactly are you doing?
Is Dennis Miller writing for you now? What?
She's so clever. Ooh, that rapier wit again.
You just need a little touchy in there.
She already has the whiny voice.
All right, that concludes. Yeah. Oh boy. Ooh, they guessed it on each other's show, and then they had the penguin came in from. Jeez. All right, Jessica in Caribou, Maine. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Jess.
Hi.
Hello.
I had a brilliant idea about how you can triumphantly return to California and not use any fossil fuels.
Okay.
What you need is a carriage chair being carried by some really hot young manservants who are scantily clad.
Oh, like Madeline Kahn.
Yes.
Can you all please step on the same foot at the same time? I'm falling off.
That's right.
Exactly. That's how you need to go back.
Is that from History of the World?
Yes.
That's going to be a little bumpy. A little jiggly for Mama. But
especially
okay.
Going over the Rockies.
Well, they'll have to carry you then.
I'll do Madeline Kahn all the way across the country just to annoy them.
Not the hair.
No, not the nails.
Not the lips.
Fred in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Fred.
Yeah, I think what they should be discussing is nationalizing the profits of the oil companies, just like Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
This is a national resource. It's not their oil. You have people who fought in World War II, Nam, Iraq. This is their oil.
Yeah.
You know, that's being stolen.
It's
being stolen from Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I hear you.
Stole the oil from Iran after overthrowing the democratically elected Mossadegh, which led to all kinds of problems that were
started. Just like we invaded Iraq for the troops and gave all the oil strategic petroleum reserves to four corporations, one of whom was BP.
Huh. Yep. How about that?
They can afford the cleanup.
By the way, since I'm coming back on the stretcher with the hot naked men that will be carrying me across the country, I have to ship my car. Jim, I swear to God, the guy from the car company I'm using, it sounds like your Chicago character.
That guy.
Yeah, he's named Danny. He's like, sorry it took me so long to get back to you. Hit the fan yesterday over here, but here's what we're going to do.
Sorry, car. When I get your car.
I love a Chicago accent.
And I take it up there on the expressway. And if I don't get too far...
Going over the viaduct.
He's awesome. I love him. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the final segment of Fridays with Fiegel Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is not normal.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge.
I have to go check my yard. You know, my renters are moving out here. I got to see if gotta get the boys out
the yard.
Maybe
the boys are waiting.
Out in the yard.
And then Hal Sparks and I are going to Melissa Etheridge's birthday party tomorrow night.
In her yard.
Yes, in her yard. I'm sure we'll have stories of something disastrous and embarrassing I did.
You're going to knock Meg Ryan into the pool.
I think so. I normally am.
Oh,
I'm not a good packer, so I packed, I don't know, culottes and flippers. It's not going to be a good look.
You never wear culottes with me, Steph.
Yeah. What is a culotte?
That's what Paula Jones was wearing.
It's just shorts that make you look like an a-hole. They're just...
shorts.
All right. Here's the other reason I got a big announcement today, Mama. I'm moving back to L.A. in a few weeks.
Right.
But stink bugs have invaded New Jersey.
What?
I know what you're
thinking.
Who's
going to notice?
Hey! We collided into that. It can smell worse.
I've been to the Meadowlands. You know, it's... You don't need any help.
No, apparently, when you step on it, it stinks. It's like a fart bug, but it's called a Jersey stink bug.
All the more reason to live in the tri-state area.
That's right. Or as I call it, the Guido Belt.
That'd be great at rush hour when they all land on the turnpike.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
You're going to need those little Christmas tree things the cabbies have there in the mirror.
We have been busted again, Chris. We have been newsbusters has busted us again. They have sussed out liberal bias in liberal radio again. Good job!
Curse you, newsbusters.
Religion has been a mysteriously hot topic with several liberal radio hosts this week. On Tuesday's Stephanie Miller Show, she talked to liberal Reverend Jim Wallace. He's not liberal. He wrote God's Politics, how the right doesn't get it and the left gets it wrong or whatever.
Yeah, he's actually talking about things Jesus talked about.
Uh-huh.
Jesus is the biggest liberal in the history of religion and literature.
Mm-hmm. Shut up!
Miller said Wallace was doing something important about reclaiming God from people who are just filled with hate. How do we do that? Wallace replied, we have to replace the gospel of Glenn, Rush, Sean, and Bill with the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I thought that was a good line.
Yeah, very nice.
I like Newsbusters because at least they quote my show. They give me lots of ink.
Yes, they do.
Like it's something shocking. Having suggested conservative talkers with the antithesis of the Bible, he then said civility requires that you can't challenge people's faith because they disagree with you politically. Yes, good point. Mm-hmm. Once again, thanks for the transcript.
Right.
Okay.
And your point is?
Somebody asked me the other day, is there a transcript of your show? I'm like, well, it's on a lot of the right-wing websites.
Yeah, try newsbusters.org.
Whenever Rush mentions me.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America this morning.
Let's see.
Rush is claiming to be urban? Yo?
Here's more detail.
West Palm Beach is, Palm Beach is so urban.
Here's more detail from the Stephanie Miller show. After his gospel of conservative talkers insult, Wallace added, there's something wrong with your politics. Well, I was thinking about this yesterday when it's ideological, partisan, and angry, blah, blah, blah. Newsbusters goes on to say, does Wallace ever listen to the Miller show if he doesn't want nasty partisan talk? Oh, please. We hardly ever talk about the morons at Newsbusters unless they, they bring me up first.
Yes. Ooh, they busted us.
Oh,
I feel
snap,
busted.
Snap, okay. All right, by the by, speaking, John Fugel saying the ecclesiastical MOOC of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, my child.
In, in communities across the country, Muslim Americans are under attack by as radical conservatives are denying them a right to build their places of worship. That's getting a little scary.
Yeah.
The whole freedom of religion thing that the country was based on is...
Oh, nice.
Yes. Well, that's not going to be a Muslim house of worship. It's going to be a Muslim laughing at what we pulled off 24 hours a day. I mean, it's incredible how these people have completely missed the difference between being Christian and being a Christian supremacist.
Exactly.
If you're against Muslims practicing their religion, you're technically an American.
Here's another one of our Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites. You know, we mentioned...
Wheel of Right-Wing Hypocrites!
You know, Bobby Jindal's been one of those anti-government, get the government out of... where's the government now?
Mm-hmm. Why's the government building us a sand berm?
Bobby who?
Stimulus critic Rick Perry was only able to balance his state's budget because of... the stimulus, thank you. Mm-hmm. Back when the economic recovery package was being debated, a handful of Republican governors garnered headlines by rejecting various portions of the funding. One of the loudest critics, of course, Governor Secessionist. At the time, Perry said rejecting the money was pretty simple for us. We can take care of ourselves. Perry also said, adding with regard to the stimulus, Texas should look a gift horse in the mouth. The Texas state legislature eventually pushed Perry to accept the money. The Wall Street Journal noted yesterday the stimulus is the reason Texas currently has a balanced budget. Exactly. Perry not the only governor to rail against the stimulus while relying on it to balance his budget. Governor Tim Pawlenty called the stimulus incoherent and largely wasted, but still used it to fix one-third of his state's budget.
I think
budget
we should have a hypocrisy tax.
Yeah.
That would straighten things out quick.
Let's go to John in Los Angeles. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Don. Hi.
Hey, I just can't understand how these hypocrites that you guys are constantly reminding us about can ignore the crimes that have been committed in this BP disaster. It's just beyond my comprehension how they just ignore the fact that they went down there willingly and forgot or decided against spending a few hundred thousand dollars to put in safety measures that could have prevented the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, boy, it seems like every day we find a new layer of literally criminality in this whole thing. This was not an accident by any means. Let's go to Dee Dee in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hey there, Stephanie. It's my first time calling.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, you know, this BP oil mess is horrible, and I can't believe no one's thought of this. All you got to do is, like, do a replica of the Octomom's, you know, stuff, area, bikini stuff, and then, like, try and cap it with that.
Oh, dear God. Is that a pube joke? All right, let's...
I think that was. Was that a joke?
I don't know. Bless her heart.
I think we should soak it up with all the Uggs.
All right, I have some breaking man news because I have so many men here today. Metrosexuals, take note. The party is over. The man's man is back.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
He's had enough of unisex salons, simmering emo music, and the emasculating kryptonite of Oprah Sphere, or so say a spate of ads, books, and websites that hail the emergence of the retrosexual whose attitudes and style harken back to the strong silent type of the 50s and early 60s. Hmm. The retrosexual...
As in, go get me a martini doll face?
That's right.
Yes. Ah.
Oh, Jim has always been... Jim has always been retro. He's always been a retro.
Hey, Jiggles, yes. Grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
Although, I...
Okay, if you think that's a joke, what did Jim do when he got in here, literally, Chris, like 3 seconds after he got in the studio, grabbed my
all
ass.
Done
oh, your ass. About half a second.
Yeah, literally said, I don't have a pad to write the Tom Cruise bit, and I got him a pad. Okay.
That's true.
And that's what Elena Kagan has to face when she starts working with Clarence Thomas.
The retrosexual keeps things simple. He does not own more hair and skin products than his wife or girlfriend. He does not accessorize. This menaissance, as one blogger called it, is old wine in a new bottle. So,
although I am getting tired of the wimp rock on the radio. I'm so weak. I've done
yeah, like Jason Mraz.
Wrong.
I want to shoot that
no,
guy.
No,
nobody likes weepy
he's
guys.
He's clever, actually. But his songs at least have, you know. But a lot of it's just, ugh.
Yeah, Chastity Bono needs to teach him how to be a man.
Takes you back to the all those weepy 70s songs.
How could I let you go?
And the golden age of 80s was rock.
Oh, I hate that.
The honesty is too much.
Lady in red.
Yeah, that guy needed
dancing with me.
That guy needed a manassance for sure. However, this is a contradictory headline. High heels are back as for fashionable men.
What?
What?
No, they're not.
I don't.
No, they're lying to you.
They're for the first time since glam rock. They're saying high heels are back.
For Tom Cruise, maybe.
On that
he's
note.
Always been a glam rocker. On that note.
No, and he's short.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody. We'll see you live back here Tuesday on the Stephanie Miller Show.